1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And that narrows it down to truly a few. Brethren in Christ, I should like to keep us in remembrance of what we're all about. As for the undercurrent, the Antichrist spirit remains the same, with a caveat, a big fat caveat. It has grown stronger and has infected more hosts with its ever more ludicrous lies. And many sorely deceived teachers are still harping on the advent of some man with a pig under his arm standing in a rebuilt temple built with funds provided by sorely deceived professing Christians. We still spend more time on Antichrist than we do Jesus Christ. Yep. Nothing new here either. I'll just go ahead and remind us of something John said in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 18. Most of us are familiar with this. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Are we supposed to be concentrating on the Antichrists, or are we supposed to be concentrating on what we're doing in this last time? You answer that. Many John communicated with, including those in Thessalonica, these guys were wired in, you know. They were waiting for a physical manifestation of the man of sin. And admittedly, they were also watching for a man, Jesus, leading an army, as was the style of a true king in those days. When Jesus yet walked the earth, many salivated at the prospects of seeing Jesus beat the snot out of Rome and establish his order on earth. How wrong they were. The Father's plan for his spiritual Israel was not yet apparent, even to Jesus' disciples. The prophecies all spoke of the coming of God's Savior in the form of a man. Read Isaiah 52, 53. It's all over the place. What God was to do with his nation was to turn them, what looked like a physical national nation, which it doesn't exist today, this nation called the elect was to be turned into a spiritual nation while they yet lived and do live today on the earth. You know, visitors, sojourners, withering grass. If we can read the prophecies on the spiritual level, we'll see just what life was like and is like in God's spiritual realm. But do we bore that deeply into the Word? I don't know. In the course of my studies on this topic, I do believe that John threw a cryptic curve to those waiting for this earthly kingdom, as well as to those waiting today, albeit in vain as I see it. It was the many antichrists now, as they lived in John's day, that was the curve. John prefaced that with, "As ye have heard." Well, which of the apostles spoke of what or who I call the antichrist? If the answer is none, then who did the people hear it from? Don't even say the Spirit of God. I hear woof woof. Where is the word Antichrist in the Revelation? Those still waiting for the Antichrist do not have their spiritual eyes fixed above, looking for their redemption drawing nigh, as Jesus said. As the earthly life of a called-out believer nears its end, it is natural they spiritually look up, isn't it? Looking up is a figurative analogy given by Jesus. Additionally, there will only be a few in the absolute end that will literally look up and see the coming of Christ. Look up. Understand this term as watchful, a figurative anticipatory gesture, holding fast to one's gift of faith and the promise of life at the end of one's walk in Christ. That is looking up as well, isn't it? It's so easy, like falling off a log, to lower one's thinking into the carnal realm when reading Scripture. Many of us, due to our false teachers, are become fixated on what the five senses interpret and not the deeper, wider spiritual truth waiting to be revealed to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. Hence, here many set, wallowing in carnally manufactured truths custom-made to cause the professors to remain in total ignorance of the real truth. Capital T. How we read Scripture is a good way to test ourselves in the faith, brethren. We're waiting for the Great Tribulation. Well, according to our blind teachers, we have yet to physically see the events of Ezekiel. Remember Ezekiel 37? And all the hubbub and mishmash of all of that going on there years ago? How long will it take for this to be physically manifest? Decades yet? Years? And then we're waiting for the Great Tribulation after that. How long will that take? Decades? Years? To get there? To that Great Tribulation? 3.5 years? 7 years? Oh, and then we're waiting for Armageddon. Does anybody see where this is going? Jesus told us we, as his followers, would have tribulation. Following him? When all this is supposed to happen upon the earth, where is the mention of the Great Tribulation in the Revelation to John? There's something more going on here. Multitudes have got it wrong. And as when we used to hunt raccoons for a bounty, there were times our dogs would be standing under an empty tree barking away in the dark. Hence, barking up the wrong tree would aptly describe the majority of so-called Christianity today. Blind men and women in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. That sums up the pathetic prophetic ministries today. Yay. And the saints? I'll give us a hint here. Could Ezekiel be describing events in the spiritual realm where all the action is? That's a big bite and a long chew. But I suggest, with prayer, we strive to fathom the real depths of the Word of God and back down from all this hype and anxiety related to the wolves' version of the outcome of prophecy. Doesn't the outcome of your walk matter in the slightest? One thing we can be assured of, at the rate of insanity upon this earth, in our governments, on the streets, neighbors, friends, the way we do things anymore these days, combined with the real celestial and planetary events that are upon us, in one form or another, there will come a day, a dreadful day, when no flesh would survive. Now, wouldn't what is befalling us all today be considered great tribulation, as opposed to what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 1,000 years ago? Empires are crumbling, and kings full of the Antichrist spirit, are devouring whole continents and blowing down the walls of protection that our fragile laws once afforded us? This is planet-wide. So what do we do? Do we join the modern Maccabees and make a fight of it? Wrong tree, kids. Wrong tree. I'll tell you what John was most concerned about. The sheep being deceived. 2 John 1:7. They all were. Jesus was. It took a little while for even the apostles to flush out their carnal headgear in the beginning and realize, as they spoke of it in so many ways afterwards, that the new life in Christ, the new man, was all spiritual. The works of faith being produced by the Spirit, in the manner and timing of the Spirit, simple. The way we walk, our conversation, which means manner, action, begins to conform more and more to that of a sojourner, like unto Christ. The Spirit of Christ wins over the spirit of man when you're filled, and has won, by the way, in his saints. We have to hang on to that. We have to integrate it into our being, you know, and continually fight the good fight of faith, you know, keeping the flesh down. Keeping the mind in check, putting into submission. What are we, putting it into submission to the prophetic wolves out there? The pathetic watchers? Question is, how are we walking right now? A spiritual application of following Christ is the only course to follow, and followed likely by those given eyes to see. This is heresy to some or many, but I don't care. The called out live by and through the Spirit right now. And I could tell you that their eyes and ears see and hear nothing but ever-changing truth around them while holding on to the faith of Jesus and that particular simplicity. Jesus didn't tell us about wars and rumors of wars to have us fixated on it. For heaven's sake, wake up. Will he find faith when he returns? Or a bunch of deceived posers to whom he says, I know not whence thou art, Luke 13:27. Simply put, you were called out, but I have no idea where you're coming from now. Depart from me. Oh, and how about 1 Timothy 5:12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith? You think there's a connection here? Damnation. Nice, huh? We have a lot of work to do striving and standing and holding firm to our faith right now. I suggest, as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling of our Father and the easy vexation which comes of wave upon wave of false doctrine and bass-ackwards interpretation of Father's word, we endeavor not to lose sight of our smallness here, not laying aside our humility, focusing on our Christ and his simplicity, walking as we here live, one step at a time, nurturing our hope of salvation, and leave deception and damnation to the truly blind. Cool? Anyway, we're surrounded by a world both carnal and spiritual, fully bursting with ever-changing truths brought to us by lost, confused, deceived, self-ordained bubbleheads spewing the lies of their father, the devil. Nothing simple there, or is it? Think about it. Jesus and later Paul called them wolves. And wolves aren't apt to want to be cuddly and cute, let alone truthful. Oh, Granny, what big teeth you have. The more things change, the more they stay the same and wax worse as time marches on to its ordained conclusion, as I see it these days. I don't know when stuff's gonna break, when the stuff's gonna hit the fan. As far as I'm concerned, it's hitting the fan right now, and there's a lot of us out there that are, like, living a lot lower on the social totem pole. You know? Making ends meet, barely. Scraping. But keeping our faith, our pearl. Our God will feed us. Jesus said so. All we got to do is keep our eyes on his kingdom. Jesus said so. How soon we forget. How often we forget. There is only one truth. It is embodied in one person, even Jesus the Christ. If the few chosen out of the many hold to this, their way is secure, albeit bumpy. Silent. Quiet. Simple. Confident. At rest in their spirits. Oh, despite the Ezekiel war, the great 3.5-year or 7-year tribulation, Armageddon, and the return of the Nephilim at all. Slow down, back up a bit, and get back on to the narrow way with the one who matters. Or has backwards become our forward motion? When we're distracted, can we focus? I've mentioned the plan before. Distract, deceive, destroy. This plan has little to do with worldly events. They're just the leaves on the branches. And if some of us give Father Time a little room to work, we can find ourselves forgetting our faith, weakened, vulnerable to the howling winds of doubt and lies of ever-changing truth. Well, then, is the gift working? Or are we parked in a ditch? As I said from the beginning, Paul knew the problems and the backslidings of those he preached the good news to. So did John, for starters. And when Peter finished his part of Christ's commission, which he admitted to, he spoke heavily of his wish to bring you and us into remembrance until his life was ended. 2 Peter 1:12 through 15. Oh, and how about 1 Timothy 4:6? What Paul said to Timothy when he was ordaining him to pastor or teach. He told Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nurtured up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." You made it there, Timothy. Now, continue. And to put Paul's exhortation to Timothy into context, read this whole thing from verse 1, 1 Timothy verse 1 through 6. "Do we hear anything resembling sound doctrine out there beyond our tents, brethren? Or does the doctrine of Christ reside in our bodily temples constantly?" 1 Corinthians 3:16. If we've received his spirit at our new birth, then John 14:26 has great meaning and a leveling effect to us. It's our security blanket. Quote, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Yep, and it's passed down to every believer. Everyone that's called of God's Spirit to himself through his Christ. Yep. Don't be deceived. Narrow your way every day. You are in the world, but not of it. Act accordingly, saints. And to our holy men and women, professing knowledge of the last days and the wrong Christ with caveats galore, your designer doctrines are from your bellies, to please your bellies, and will only live as long as you do, and ultimately cost you your everlasting souls. Remember 2 Peter 2:3, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's all going to come out in the wash. Tons of spiritual meaning here too, eh? Especially sure as we traverse this valley of the shadow of death, especially sure are the everlasting fires of hell. Is it worth your souls to lend your ears to liars, hoping to glean some comfort or truth from them, saints? Let your God teach you. I'm pushing you in his direction. It's still your choice, while you yet sojourn here. Enough said. I like to close with James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Think about it. May our Father bless and keep you, brethren in Christ. Do not listen to the voices. Stay away from the rabbit trails. You get your shields up and you keep to the road. Amen.